ask you a question. Have you received blessings from God often and regularly? Have we become forgetful? Have we failed to really have a heart that's full of thanksgiving and gratitude for what God has given to us? An illustration of what Mr. Whately says is very much demonstrated in the scripture. And that is, the children of Israel came out of Egypt and they began to go through the wilderness headed to the promised land. And God led them by daytime with cloud, by nighttime with fire. God fed them with manna. God watered them from water out of the rocks. Their clothes did not wear off. Their feet did not swell. And how did they receive the abundance of God's provision? Gripe, gripe, gripe. And what did they say? Oh, that we were back in Egypt. There they had the cucumbers and the melons and the onions and the leeks and the garlic and the bad breath. They had all of that back in Egypt. And I remind you of something. They had wept and cried for God to deliver them. And the minute they got out there in God's bountiful provision, they mumbled and grumbled and complained and wished that they were dead or back in Egypt. You know what they got for that? That whole generation died in the wilderness. They said, you brought us out here to kill our children. They're all going to die. The children went in. The parents died in the wilderness. It goes back to the first scripture I read there in Deuteronomy. They were not serving the Lord with gladness. They were not full of joy. And neither were they grateful for God's provision. So it's interesting that as they screamed and hollered and griped and complained, finally Moses pled with God to provide for the people meat. They said, we want meat. We want meat. Tired of this stinking manna. We want some meat. So God brought him some meat, about 3 foot deep. And they ate it till it came out their ears, so to speak. And this scripture describes the consequence. Psalm 106, verse 15. And he gave them the request and sent leanness into their soul. He gave them their request and sent leanness into their soul. And listen to me. We sang a song a minute ago, and I'm tempted to rewrite the song. Because it talks about God providing our wants. God is not obligated to provide our wants. God says, I will supply all your what? Needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You know what most of our problem is that brings us to unthankfulness? Is we've got all we want. And because we got all we want and more, then we forget to be thankful. I received an email, and I just got to share it with you. I'll step out from behind the pulpit. Because it might describe many situations. It begins with this image of a garage that is littered with all kinds of debris. All kinds of debris. Anybody ever seen a garage like that? You have any idea what I'm talking about? Okay. And so here's this man comes walking into the garage, and there's background music going on. And all of a sudden, he just buzzes around, and you see him, and boy, he's putting shelves up, and he is just doing all kinds of things and hanging things up. And the next thing you here's a bare floor. And the garage looks awesome. And you're thinking, wow, what's the real message of this email that I've just gotten? And about that time, the garage door starts opening up, and all the stuff he hung on the garage door starts falling off on the ground. And his wife has just come home, punched the button, and the door is going up. I guess you have to see it to believe it. Am I the only one that has a strange sense of humor out here? He hung it all up. He put it all up. Everything was fine until what? His wife opened the door. Let me ask you, If you put everything up, hung it somewhere, how much of it would you need later on? You've just collected it. You really don't need it. It's what we want, not what we need. And in the process, we can be ungrateful along the way. That didn't feel dead. I'll have to come back to my notes. Okay? So what is it that we should be thankful for? I'm going to list the things that are listed for you in the bulletin, and that is only a starting point. I'm challenging you to build your own list going from here as we go into this week of Thanksgiving. Psalm 148, I'm starting with it. I know it's the bottom of your list there, but I moved it up to the top. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise you him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heaven of heavens, and you waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling his will. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. We need to praise God for creation. I was reading the magazine last night, the Bugle magazine put out by the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. And it was an article about moose. And a person began to put forward in there his beliefs about evolution. And he began to announce, actually it was a lady that was writing the article, began to announce how old the moose were in terms of how long they've been in the land and when they'd crossed over into America and when they'd come across it, thousands of years. And then the elk were in an advantage because they had been around for 3 or 4 million years, and the moose arrived late and they hadn't evolved together, and therefore that was creating complications. And I was reading through that and I says to Shelley, that's a bunch of bullpucky. That is not the truth. Friends, listen to me. In the beginning, God what? Created. We have something to be thankful for, and that thanksgiving ought to be that we are created beings. We were created in his image. Friends, we are not the product of accident and chance and time. We are, by design, created in the image of God, given the capacity to know God, have fellowship with God, and endure eternity with God. We can be thankful for that. If you are no higher than just slime that's grown up moved up the coastline and become some other kind of a critter, what a pathetic thing that would be. We have reason to be thankful. Psalm 100, verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pastures. Psalm 111, verse 4, he hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. We praise God for his creation. We praise God for his sovereignty. Daniel 4:35 says, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Or what are you up to? Go with me to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isle as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are accounted to him as less than nothing and vanity. Our God is a sovereign God. He answers to no one. And therefore, we ought to be thankful for that. Because let me ask you a question. What organization on planet Earth would you want to take over and replace God? Say, God is sovereign. I'm thankful for that. How about you? I'm thankful it's not the United Nations. How about you? I'm thankful it's not the United States Congress. How about you? Okay? We have reason to be thankful for the sovereignty of God. And listen to me. Everything that God has declared he will do, he will do. Whether we can understand it, whether we know how he's going to accomplish it, he will do. Tunis reflected on this in his prayer this morning. Right now, Israel is in a very difficult state. They do not have, for all practical purposes, a standing government. They cannot form a unity government. Netanyahu, just this past week, has been charged with charges of bribery and several malfeasance things in office. And so there's a question whether he's even viable to consider to form a combined government. The other man could not put together a government. And so Israel's in many ways without a government. And Iran is on the other side of the fence licking their chops saying now would be a good time. I'm glad God is sovereign. God knows what's going on and God is going to take care of things. God will take care of Israel with or without Netanyahu. Okay? Because God is sovereign. We can praise God for his mercy. Psalm 136, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth how long? Forever. There are 26 verses in Psalm 136, and every one of them ends with that phrase. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, what it does, if you'll take time and would like to do that this week, it goes through and describes a circumstance in Israel, and then it repeats that phrase, and then describes another circumstance and repeats that phrase. A number of years ago, I kind of put a challenge on myself, and I rewrote that psalm. And here's how I went about rewriting it. I began to identify the ways that God had ministered in my life, and then I closed with that phrase. I challenge you to do the same thing. Go back in your life and remember some of the ways that God has intervened and interceded and blessed in your life. And then remind yourself to give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee? Answer, no one. That pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Last week we talked about God is what? Anybody here last week? God is just. But what is the blessed balancing factor that we're talking about right here? Mercy. If there were no mercy and God's justice were performed, what would happen to every last one of us here? We'd be in hell for eternity. His mercies are new every once in a while. No. Lamentation says they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God's mercy. Oh, to be thankful for that. Titus 3:5. It's not on your list, but write it down. Not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. His provision. God's provision is such an awesome thing. In Psalm 50, I'm going to begin reading with verse 7. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offering to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast in the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. God is our provider. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? James 1:17, Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Philippians 4:19, But my God shall supply all your, not wants, your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you a question this morning. What do you have that was not a gift from God? Someone said, well, I work for everything I've got. Okay. Where'd you get the energy to do that? Where'd you get the life? Where'd you get the power? Where'd you get the ingenuity? Where did you get all the rest that goes together, the very brain matter to be able to accomplish whatever it is? Everything we have is ultimately a gift from God. And therefore, God's the one that's worthy of thanksgiving. And to neglect that says, look at all these things that my hand hath made. Anybody remember who said that? Nebuchadnezzar. Anybody remember what happened after he said that? God put him out to pasture for 7 years. Okay? We recognize, if we're honest with ourselves, that everything we have is a gift from God. There's a sermon I'm going to preach one of these days. You pray about it, okay? I'm not even going to tell you what it's about, but you pray about it. His provision. That's got you worried, doesn't it? Salvation, his salvation. Psalm 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I trust, my buckler, and he is the horn of my salvation and my high tower. As David wrote that in Psalm 18, verse 2, he is saying, God's my everything. God is all I need, but he includes in there the matter of salvation. An interesting passage from Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9. Says, But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Now let me take you on a journey for just a second. That's from the book of Jonah. That's chapter 2 in Jonah. Anybody remember what happens in chapter 1 of Jonah? The sovereign God told him to go to Nineveh, and what did he do? He outvoted God, said, I'm going the other direction. And he got on that ship, and you recall that it didn't go well. The ship acted like it was going to sink. The sailors were panicking, bless you. And the consequence was, they called out, what's the problem? Who's responsible? Where did this come from? And ultimately, here's old Jonah admits, it's my fault, I'm running from God. Then they really got worried. And so they cried out to their gods, and now what do we do? And finally Jonah said, the only thing you can do is throw me over, and then it'll calm down. And they threw him over, and sure enough, it calmed down. And as he sunk down, God provided a big fish. Whether it's a whale or a whale of a fish, doesn't matter to me. It was a big fish, big enough that it swallowed him. Inside that ship, he began to worship God. Listen to what I said. He said, But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. What did he declare there was the only way he was going to get out of that fish? Salvation is of the Lord. And as he cried out to God, God in mercy who had created the big fish, remember, going up our line here, God then provided his exit strategy, and that big fish vomited him out on the ground. But he says, I will pay that which I vowed. I'll offer thanksgiving. Think about that. Inside that fish, he begins to say, it's a good day to have thanksgiving. And he did. And God honored that. Salvation. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you may be saved, save the name of Jesus. Friends, we have something to be thankful for today if we're believers, and that's salvation. Because if it were not provided through Jesus Christ, there would be no hope for any of us. And eternity is a long time to be regretting it. Eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the who? The world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. We have something to be thankful when we talk about eternal life, because it's a gift and because it is eternal. John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. We're doing a study on cults in Sunday school. And as we're doing this study on cults in Sunday school, I'm doing a bunch of reading on the side, and I keep coming across again and again in these cults the perversions that they have come up with in terms of what happens after somebody dies. And let me tell you, every last one of them ends up in the same boat with no hope. Whatever cult you want to name, there is no hope. Because none of them deal with our sin problem, and none of them deal with the reality of eternity. In Christ alone is salvation. In Christ alone is their eternal life. And if you are without Christ, listen to what it says in 1 John 5, beginning with verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Have you got something to be thankful for? If you have eternal life, you can be eternally thankful. And if you do not have, you'll be eternally regretting that you never chose to, by faith, receive the gift. Lastly, and not the last of the things that you can be thankful for, but the last on the list that I share, is relationship with family and others. I ask you to get up and go around and express thanks to the various ones, thankful that God made them. Relationship. Relationship. If you have absolutely no relationship or relationships, what is your life? Oy, a hermit. What else is it besides being a hermit? It is empty. It is hollow. It is meaningless. You read through the book of Ecclesiastes, and one of the things that is all vanity in the eyes of Solomon is all the stuff that he's accumulated, he's going to have to leave it to somebody, and he doesn't have a clue what they're going to do with it. What are they going to do with all that stuff once I'm gone? And what's weird about it is, so many times to a child who's left everything, because he's always had everything, he values nothing, and then here he sits all alone without even a relationship to his parents. And you know what? It's hard to have a real personal relationship with some article. You need a living, breathing person, or you need an eternal relationship with God, who's designed and desired a relationship with us. Relationship with family and others. Ephesians 5:33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. Chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Relationship. Thank God for the relationships that he's brought to you. John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. I've preached a series before, and you've probably heard it in other places, and that is, there is a whole listing of one another's in Scripture. Serve one another, love one another, honor one another, exhort one another. A long list in Scripture. And each one of them is talking about one another, and in doing so, it is saying relationship is important. God's plan is that we are involved and related to one another, to minister to one another. In the book of Colossians 1, verses 1 through 3. And Paul does similarly in letters to the other churches. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Paul was a man of relationships. As he wrote the letters to the churches, we see that he prayed for them. He had relationships with those people. If you read the last chapter of Romans, he lists the names one after another, after another, after another, and identifies people that he had relationships with. Friends, we can be thankful for relationships. And the privilege of relationships is that we can be a blessing to others as we love the Lord and serve the Lord through investing our life in others. One of the blessings that I've received in the last 2 weeks is phone calls and cards and letters and comments by people from years ago, remembering and identifying relationships that we have together in Christ. We have so much to be thankful for. And there's a whole lot more than I've listed here. This week, count your many blessings. Name them ton by ton. Go ahead and write some of them down. And maybe along the way, as you're beginning to think, maybe you will find some that you become forgetful about thanking God for. And you can pick it up. Maybe that'll mean a phone call, or maybe that'll just mean you bowing before the Lord and giving thanks to him for that blessing that he's just reminded you of, that he's given to you, and that you've received frequently, and you've become accustomed to it and begun to become forgetful and unthankful for what he has provided for you. A little boy went home with a friend. As the dinner was served, in this house where there was not a Christian father or leadership, they just all dug in and started eating. Little boy that was visiting had grown up in a Christian home where they always gave thanks for the food. And he was a bit shocked by the fact that there wasn't a moment of thanksgiving for the food. And then he said this, "Oh, you're just like the pigs. You just jump in." Out of the mouth of babes, huh? Out of the mouth of babes. Give thanks. Not just on Thursday, please. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And friends, listen to me. we can and should even give thanks in the hard times, because God will use that together for good as well. In everything, give thanks. Father, we thank you for the multitude of blessings that you poured out upon us. Father, we admit, confess, and declare that we're not worthy of any of those blessings that you have given to us, that they are all of mercy and grace that you have provided. Lord, may we not become like your children of Israel, griping and complaining about your bountiful provision. Lord, may we thank you and praise you. And as we glorify your name for your provision, may we also realize that we have blessings that we can share with others. And as you prompt us, Lord, help us to do that as well. So, Lord, this week, as we hear and hear and hear and hear again, Happy Thanksgiving, may that be more than just words. May that be a reality, an overflowing of our heart in worship and thanksgiving and praise unto you. It is the duty of men and of nations. It's the indispensable duty of men and of nations, according to our founding fathers, and surely that is still true. Lord, may we be faithful to do it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to hymn number 500.